Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Leviticus chapter number 18. I am going to start us back at verse number 1, and I will remind you at this point, this is PG-13 material, no doubt about it. Moms, dads, whoever might have some younger children there with you, unless you want to have some interesting conversations, you need to get them busy somewhere else. This needs to be talked about clearly and plainly. And so I can't do that unless you understand that this is not acceptable material for young children. Okay, so this is what it starts with. I won't go in as much detail as I did in the introduction last time. He who has spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, say to them, I am he who is your God." So a stress on God being creator. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived. You shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. Very clearly, the Egyptians' sexual mores, the Canaanite sexual mores had deviated far from the design of the Creator. God made sexuality. He designed the bigender design of humanity. So he knows exactly how he wanted it to be used, and he blessed it at its very beginning. But when sin came into the world, we end up with deviations from that. And some of it was pushed by the fallen angels, their ideals of trying to corrupt humanity, of trying to break the design of God in humanity. And so they have had a lot of influence. These demonic entities have had a lot of influence in Egypt and in Canaan. And so there's a lot of bad behavior, sexual behavior, in both of those places. And Moses is being warned by God, no, that is not acceptable. It says, verse 4, you shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am he who is your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am he who is. So you need to follow God's design for sexuality. Because outside of those parameters is dangerous. It is unhealthy. It is bad for the genetic pool. And it could end up with people dying. In fact, we know that it does end up with people dying of certain types of diseases. Verse number 6. None of you shall approach any one of his close relatives to uncover nakedness. I am he who is. So rule over, the number one rule, the overarching principle is, don't have sex with members of your family, close members of your family. Now, back in the book of Genesis, I mentioned on several occasions that there was not a problem at the very beginning of humanity's history with brothers and sisters, full brothers and sisters, having a relationship and having kids together, because the gene pool at that point was super deep and super wide. And so the idea of genetic mutations was very, very low on the care score. You didn't worry too much about it because it was highly unlikely. But over time, the degradation of the genetic information inside the gene pool takes effect, and the pool gets shallower and smaller. And so you end up with some new rules put down from time to time. Now, Abraham is like 600 so years previous to the time of Moses. He married his own half-sister. They shared the same dad, but not the same mom. That was still not a problem at that time. Generation or so after that, it's two generations after that, you end up with cousins marrying, and that also was not a problem at the time, because the gene pool was still deep enough and still wide enough to keep that reduplication of bad genes from becoming a problem and a threat. But in the 15th century BC, God has determined, since he is the creator, since he is the designer, that it has gotten dangerous enough that even some of the ones that have already been allowed in Israeli history can't be allowed anymore. Okay? And so we will see some of those mentioned. But he starts, actually, with the ones that should have grossed any of us out. Okay? Verse number 7. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, which is the nakedness of your mother. She's your mother. So men should not be having sexual relationships with their moms. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's wrong. It's very dangerous. You shall not uncover her nakedness. And the same would be true for the opposite gender of this story. Daughters should not be engaging sexually with their fathers. It's wrong. It's sinful. It's dangerous. Verse number 8. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It's your father's nakedness. Now, in this case, it's a stepmom, or, to flip the gender, a stepdad. The rule God says is, no, that's still wrong. You should not be doing that. They have been intimately involved with your parent. Don't do it. Verse number 9. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your sister. Again, ooh. Can we really agree that some of this stuff is absolutely disgusting, and it should turn our stomachs to think that some of this was being done in Egypt and in Canaan? You shall not uncover the nakedness of your sister, your father's daughter, or your mother's daughter, whether they were brought up in the family or in another home. So it means even your half-sister. So that would be the whole Abraham-Sarah thing has changed in the last several centuries since they were married to one another. God says, no, I don't even want you involved with your half-sibling. Verse 10, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your son's daughter. Oh my goodness. Grandkids, really? Does that need to be said that it should be off the table? You shall not uncover the nakedness of your son's daughter or of your daughter's daughter, for their nakedness is your own nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife's daughter. So, stepsister, brought up in your father's family, since she is your sister, a half-sister or stepsister. Verse 12, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She's your father's relative. She's also your aunt or your uncle, please. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. That'd be your uncle. That is, you shall not approach his wife. She's your aunt. So even your aunt or your uncle by marriage is off limits, not appropriate. Too close and intimate. Verse 17, you shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. You shall not take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are relatives. It is depravity. So remember, both the Egyptians and the Canaanites practiced polygamy or polyamory. Depending on whether there was actually a marriage involved or if it was just a relationship. they had more than one sex partner at the same time. Not appropriate, but this would be even worse in that category, to have mom and daughter, or dad and son, all at the same time. No. It's that simple. Verse 18. This one tags Jacob. Every last Israeli knows the story of their namesake relative, Jacob, who became Israel. You shall not take a woman as a rival wife to her sister, uncovering her nakedness while her sister is still alive. So apparently, you can marry the sister if your wife has died, or you can marry the brother if your husband has died, but don't be having them both at the same time. It's not right, and we know it caused an awful lot of trouble with Jacob and Rachel and Leah. Verse number 19. You shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness while she's in her menstrual uncleanness. Now remember, the uncleanness here is ceremonial. It's the idea that she has blood, and life is represented by that blood. And so you're not supposed to come into contact with blood. It might happen as an accident. You know, you're not aware that the period is about to start, and so you have sexual relationships in a normal fashion. But if that's the case, then you go through a ceremony of cleaning up from that accidental contact. This seems to be more about the idea of intentionally doing it, because we know that the Egyptians and the Canaanites, as well as a lot of pagan groups out there, believed there was a special power in blood, and you needed to come into close contact with it on purpose. And menstrual blood was counted as super powerful. In fact, I tell this story every time I go through here. When you go back into the ancient documents, you find out that the Greeks, and I believe it was a few other cultures as well, would collect menstrual blood to rub on their shields, because they believed that it would protect the shields from arrows and other implements of death. And so here we apparently have an incident that God is talking against amongst the Canaanites and the Egyptians, where men would intentionally have sex with their wives while they are having their period. And God says, no, no, don't do it. Verse number 20, you shall not lie sexually with your neighbor's wife and so make yourself unclean with her. There's another term for that. It's called adultery. And we know that the Ten Commandments included, don't commit adultery. It's a sin, first of all, against God, because it's breaking the design of one man, one woman committed to one another for a lifetime. But it's also a sin against your neighbor. It's cheating. And so God reminds them that's also a sexual activity that's off limits. Now, verse 21, we're still talking about sexual activity here. It is a reference to the Moloch cult and the Chemosh cult of the Ammonites and the Moabites. If you don't remember, back in the book of Genesis, we know that when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, that Lot escaped only with his two daughters. And he immediately shuts himself and them up in a cave there in the mountains on the east side of the destruction area of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we know of today as kind of the Dead Sea region, particularly the South Bay area. his two daughters began to worry that their family line was going to dead end because dad never made contact with other people anymore. And he wouldn't let them make contact with other people anymore. So they didn't think they'd ever get married. If they don't get married, they don't have kids, their family ends. So they came up with a plan. And that was they would get their dad drunk on successive nights whenever they were at the point of fertility in their cycle, which they knew. Every woman back in that time for sure was very much in tune with the rhythms of their body, and they knew when they were very fertile for getting pregnant, and also their cycles for women living in close proximity to one another would very much sync up. So they knew by getting him pregnant on two, or getting him drunk on two nights in a row and having sex with him, while he was drunk and not really thinking about things, that they could get pregnant. And they did. And they had kids. I think the oldest one had a baby boy and named him From Daddy, which is where we get the word Moab, means from daddy. And then the other one had a baby boy and named him Ben-Ami, the son of my family. Both very sick, twisted ideas of getting pregnant and having these kids and continuing the family tree. Well, it seems that a cult of pseudo Most High God worship gets started in these two people groups. They worship a god who destroyed the cities of the plain, so he is a god of fire. He is a god of destruction. But the way they did it was apparently, I think, on the annual commemoration of that destruction date, they would get together in these family groups, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they'd get drunk, and they'd have sexual relations, and any pregnancies that occurred during this ceremony, those babies would be set aside as sacrifices for the next ceremonial commemoration of the birth of their two culture groups. And then they would burn these babies up. And then they'd take their little charred bodies and stuff them into little jars and bury them as kind of good luck charms around their houses or in their communities. And the name that they gave to God, because remember, God himself was the one that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. They gave him a kind of a new term. They called him Molech, which is a slight pronunciation variation from king, Melech. So Melech becomes Molech. So he's king. And they also called him Chemosh, which means destroyer, because that's what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed them. So this pagan ceremony of getting drunk, causing pregnancies, and burning up the babies from the last round of this happening, this became their worship cycle. And it was referred to as passing through the fire. You know, you passed your culture through the fire by giving up the babies to this destroyer king god. Now, that's pretty sick, isn't it? That's pretty gross. And that pagan ideology spread from Moab and Ammon into Canaan itself. And that is what God is talking against here, starting in verse number 21. You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech, you know, the king, the destroyer king, Molech Chemosh, and so profane the name of your God, I am he who is. Now, this is rude toward God, because God is the one who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and God is the one that these ceremonies were supposedly directed toward, and he wanted nothing of the sort. So you will see this warning throughout Israeli history. Don't engage in the worship of Chemosh, of Molech. Don't pass your children through the fire. And so here's the first time that that warning was given to the Israelis. Verse 22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. So it breaks the design parameters. God made humanity by gender, male, female. He made their bodies so that they perfectly fit together. And there is pleasure, there is enjoyment, and sometimes there is the production of a new generation. That was God's design. And God says, if you use that equipment, if you use those bodies in a way other than what I intended, that's not appropriate. So what we're effectively talking about here is homosexuality. One gender interaction sexually. And I know in our modern day culture, it is becoming much more prominent in some circles to say, no, that's old-fashioned thinking, that's homophobic, that is wrong, it's not acceptable behavior nowadays. And my response is, I can only preach and teach straight from the Scripture. This is the Word of God, and the Word of God is pretty clear on it. Some people will try to say that it is not clear, the only thing that the Bible is against is homosexual rape, and yet you can see in verse 22 that is not what is being described here. Now, verse 23 goes into another violation of the sexual design of God. You shall not lie with an animal and so make yourself unclean with it. Neither shall any woman give herself to an animal to lie with it. It is perversion. And we know that this was and is, unfortunately, behavior that has been engaged in by non-believing communities. Because if they're a believing community, then they take serious the words of God that, you know, it's intended to be one man, one woman together for a lifetime. So they know that it's wrong to engage in this sort of behavior. This is bestiality, and it is a violation of the design, and I am saddened to say that it is coming out of the closet more and more, and that's not good. Verse number 24. Do not make yourselves unclean by any of these things. Why? For by all these, the nations I am driving out before you have become unclean, and the land became unclean, so that I punished its iniquity, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. So this type of deviant behavior, and here in the context, we're talking about sexual deviant behavior, has gone off the rails of what God had intended. And it has resulted in all sorts of disease and problems genetically. And God is saying, I need you Israelis to not go down this same path. I'm already getting ready to kick the Canaanites out of their land because they've engaged in this behavior. Don't make me do it as well to you. And this vomiting out its inhabitants, we'll see that phrasing being repeated by God later as a threat to the Israelis. If you guys don't refrain from this misbehavior, you too will be kicked out of the land. And of course, we know that's exactly what happened. Verse 26, you shall keep my statutes and my rules and do none of these abominations. The word for abomination has the idea of making one sick. You know, it's that gag reflex when you see or smell or something or think about something. That's the idea here, is that these things are so far off of God's design parameters that it's like, ooh, that's gross. Okay? Verse number 26. You shall keep my statutes and my rules and do none of these abominations, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. So people that come and live in Israel, but they're not Israelis, they're still expected to follow these rules. For the people of the land who were before you did all of these abominations so that the land became unclean. Lest the land vomit you out when you make it unclean, as it vomited out the nation that was before you. And this is one of the first times that God gives that warning before they ever get into the promised land. If you follow these thing practices, I'll boot you out of there just like I'm booting out the Canaanites. For everyone who does any of these abominations, the person who does them shall be cut off from among their people. You've heard me repeat the explanation about this. It's a two-stage proposition. Stage number one is, if you are going to do this, you got to get out of our country. You have to leave. It's not allowed here. Stage two, if you try to stay and keep on doing it, that's traitorous, and that is capital offense. So, verse 30, as we wrap it up for today. Keep my charge never to practice any of these abominable customs that were practiced before you. Never make yourselves unclean by them. I am He who is your God. So very, very serious warnings from God. Mark your place there. We will come back to chapter 19 the next time we get into the Word.